Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top. You'll notice a triangle in the middle of the line and a number 2 to the side of the Gemara. This represents the continuation of a series marking that we started back on Daf Ayin Gimel Omer Aleph, where the issue comes up concerning an orel, someone who is uncircumcised. What is his din with regard to Maiser Sheni? Is he allowed to partake of it? Now, in our shiur last time, we saw Rav Sheshes being introduced as holding that an orel is forbidden to partake of Maiser Sheni. However, the Gemara rebuffed his opinion in the discussion that we saw there, and hence we're picking up with that discussion, trying to find out what is the din of an orel with regard to Maiser Sheni. So here we continue with a source, a Tanaic source. Nishtairu boy tzitzin hama'akvin esamila. There was a boy that was circumcised, but there were strips of skin that remained on his body that whose presence restricts the fulfillment of the mitzvah of milah. Hareza einu ochel lo betruma v'lo bepesach v'lo bekotchim v'lo bemeiser. He is, as a result of these tzitzin, strips of skin, he is classified still as an orel, so he cannot partake of the korban pesach sacrifices and not meiser, and of course not truma. My love, when this source says not meiser, does it not mean meiser dogon? So that you would see from here that an orel is prohibited in participating or in eating Maiser Sheni. Maiser Sheni, of course, in our last year we described it as one of the tithes that one separates from his field, from his produce, and the Maiser Sheni tithe is taken off from his produce on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the sabbatical cycle, and the owner is to eat that in Jerusalem. However, if he is an orel, so he's not allowed to eat from that. And that is like Rav Sheshes had ruled. The Gemara rejects this loy, Maiser Behema. In our markings, you'll see that we've highlighted different kinds of Maiser. There's Maiser Behema, that's a tithe that one removes from each year's animal births. And there's Maiser Rishon, you can also see a double underline later. That's one of the tithes. That's a tithe that's given every year of the sabbatical cycle, every cultivating year. That's 6 of the 7 years, the 7th year being the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year itself. But each one of the 6 years, 1/10 of one's produce is given to the Levi. So here we have the Gemara rejecting the conclusion that Maiser Sheni, the fruit tithe, the produce tithe, is forbidden to an orel, but rather Maiser Behema. The Maiser referred to here is the tithing of animals. Just a word about that tithe: 1/10 of any given year's animal births is separated, and it is brought to the Beis HaMikdash by the owner as a sacrifice. The sacrifice, once again, is called Maiser Behema. The Gemara asks, if that's the case, Maiser Behema Hainu Kochim, in the very same source, mention was already made of Kochim, of sacrifices, Maiser Behema simply being a subcategory or an example of that. Why the need for citing Maiser Behema once Kochim was already mentioned? Therefore, it's more likely that we're talking about Maiser Dogon. The Gemara asks, one second, if you're really bothered about redundancy, l'tameich, according to you, milo tnan pesach v'kotoni kochim, does it not teach Korban Pesach separate, even though Korban Pesach is a sacrifice, it's a subcategory of kochim, and hence the source doesn't hesitate to isolate or to mention specifically different types of sacrifices, even though it mentions kochim. So you can't object to the Meiser Behema Pshat simply because it says kochim. You can see that the style of the source is such that it mentions Pesach as well, even though the source mentions kochim. The Gemara says that doesn't prove anything. Bishlama Pesach v'kochim tzrichi. In fact, the citation of Pesach is not as a subcategory of kochim, but it needs to be cited separately. And the Gemara now spells that out. The Itana Pesach, had the source just taught Pesach, Mishum da'arlus b'pesach ksiva. Because when you open up the Torah, you see in an explicit fashion the Orel prohibition is written in the context of the Korban Pesach. Avo kochim emolo, but as far as other sacrifices where the Torah is not explicit about the Orel restriction, maybe an Orel, an uncircumcised person, is not restricted from other kinds of sacrifices. The Itana Kochim, and had the source taught just Kochim without mentioning Pesach, Hava Mino my Kochim Pesach, I would have thought that the reference to Kochim, the reference to sacrifices, in fact, is limited to the Korban Pesach. Therefore, by saying Pesach and Kochim, I understand that the Orel restriction is not just the Korban Pesach, but it applies to other sacrifices as well. Ela Meiser Behema Lomeli. Why, though, is there mention of Meiser Behema? Once you mention, in addition to the Korban Pesach, you mention Kochim, Kochim would include the Meiser Behema. So the presence of Meiser Behema in this Tanaic source would be, if Meiser is in fact Meiser Behema, is an absolute redundancy. Therefore, at this point, it would be more likely that the reference to Meiser is Meiser Dogon, and I would conclude that an Orel is forbidden in Meiser Dogon. The Gemara says no. Again, a rejection. The Dilma Meiser Rishon v'Rebbe Meir he. The reference to Orel being prohibited from Meiser is not Meiser Sheni. It's a reference to Meiser Rishon, the tithe given to a Levi. And we're telling you here that an Orel cannot eat from Meiser Rishon. And this is in accordance with Rabbi Meir de Omar, Meiser Rishon Osir Lezorim. Rabbi Meir has a restrictive, stringent approach to Meiser Rishon, holding that it is it is not permitted, it is forbidden to non-Levium, to Zorim. Zorim would be Yisraelim. So something like that, Meiser Rishon, which is in a sense similar to Truma in that respect that it's also to Zorim, that is something an Orel is prohibited from. However, Meiser Sheni, not necessarily. So you don't see a prohibition concerning Meiser Sheni for the Orel. Therefore, we continue. Toshma, another attempt. Midetoni Rebchia bar Rav Midifti. From the teaching of Rebchia, who cites the following source, Orel Osir B'shtei Meisers. The Orel is prohibited in two kinds of Meisers, my love. Echod Meiser Dogon ve'echod Meiser Behema. Now we dash underline the point that we're trying to conclude. And here we'd have a source that would be like Rav Sheshes, that an Orel is in fact prohibited from partaking of Meiser Dogon. Meiser Dogon being the Meiser Sheni. The Gemara rejects this. Hochanami Meiser Rishon, the Rebbe Meir. This source, in fact, is also like Rebbe Meir, and that the two Meisers referred to would be Meiser Behema and Meiser Rishon. But we don't see a prohibition of an Orel from Meiser Sheni. Toshma. Here we try again to come to a conclusion. Onain, you'll notice we've underlined three categories of people. An Onain, a Tfuyom, and a Mechusar Kippurim. Onain, he is an individual whose close relative died but hasn't yet been buried. So during that interim period between death and burial of a close relative, the surviving relative is called an onein. He's osur b'maiser u'mutar b'truma u'b'poro. You notice there's in this list of categories of people or of situations, you'll see osur in one thing and mutar in two other things. You'll see that's sort of the pattern in this source. So the onein is osur in maiser and mutar b'truma. U-be-pora. Pora means the pora aduma. He is, if he participates in the processing of the pora aduma, it's okay. Tvul yom, osur betruma. A tvul yom is a person who had been tomei and reached the end of the tumo period. Before sundown, he goes to mikveh. So the time after mikveh, after the mikveh immersion, and prior to the setting of the sun, he's called a tvul yom. So someone in that state is osur b'truma u'mutar b'para u'v'maiser. He's allowed to process a para duma, and he's allowed to participate, to partake of maiser sheni. Mechusar kippurim. Now, a mechusar kippurim is a person that had experienced a certain type of tuma that requires not only immersion in mikveh and sundown, but the bringing of a sacrifice on the following day after the tuma period, or what we call the waiting period, the Yemei Tara, have finished. So you'll find that a Mechusar Kippurim is that type of tuma that results in the bringing of a sacrifice. So someone who has gone to the mikveh, sundown has arrived, we're at the next day, but he hasn't yet brought the sacrifice necessary for total purification. He's called mechusar. Mechusar means missing, he's lacking. Kippurim, Kippurim usually means atonement. It's a reference to the bringing of that particular sacrifice needed to complete the purification process. So during that time, he's called mechusar kippurim, the time of the during the that day, the day following the required sundown, so the time between the arrival of the next day and the actual bringing of the sacrifice, osur b'pora u'mutar b'truma u'v'maiser. A mechusar kippurim cannot process a pora aduma, but he's allowed to partake of truma and maiser sheni. There's a Rashi that we'd like to note in the upper part of the narrow lines, mechusar kapora. Tuma debaya korban, a type of tuma, type of defilement that ultimately requires the bringing of a sacrifice, kol shelo hefi kaporoso, as long as he hasn't brought that sacrifice, osur ba, he is osur in those things. De mechusar maisehu, he is, when we say osur ba, we mean he's osur in pora, and as we mentioned. So he's also doing the pora duma. Why? Because the mechusar maisu, he's lacking the fulfillment of an action, the action of bringing the sacrifice. Ukemisha tum also alav domi. It's as if he is still tomei. The chol shekein tvul yom dila, and all the more so if he's only a tvul yom of that kind of tuma. Not all defilements result in the need of bringing a sacrifice, but a tvul yom, he is the individual that had experienced this kind of tuma that needs the bringing of a korban. So on the day before he brings the korban, he goes to mikveh. So at that point that he goes to mikveh, he's certainly going to be prohibited in doing the pora aduma. The ikot tarti, you have two problems. You have that the sun hasn't set yet, and that he hasn't brought the sacrifices to fully complete his purification. Aval tvuyom de tumas meis v'sheretz. However, there's another situation of tvuyom. He's a tvuyom of a person who had been tomei because of defilement to the dead, or because of contact with a sheretz. Those are different types of creatures that the Torah says one who comes into contact with them after they're dead becomes tomei. Those are defilements that do not have as their purification the bringing of a sacrifice. So a tvuyom that, let's say a tumas tomei meis, he's tomei for 7 days. On the seventh day, he goes to mikveh, and after sundown, that's the completion of the 7 days, he is then tohor. If he's a tvul yom of tumas meis, once he's gone to mikveh, or sheretz is a one-day tumah, that during that day, after he came into contact with the dead sheretz, he goes to mikveh, mutar ba, he is allowed to process the pora aduma. As far as you'll ask, but he's still lacking the setting of the sun. But the setting of the sun is not something that is in his control. It's part of nature. The shimshum meila arva, it sets on its own. The lav mechusar maisu, he's not considered as if he's lacking some action. We don't say the setting of the sun is a maisa, is an action. Hilchoch ki ksiv izah torah al tomei torah mechval shu tomei the mishri tful yom. Also, when the Torah, in the case of Pora Aduma, says v'hizo ha-tor al-atome, and we learn that the word Tor indicates he's Tor now, but still there's some element of Tumah that's upon him. And from this we learn that a Tfuyom can process the Pora Aduma. However, it has to be that type of Tfuyom that needs only the setting of the sun to complete the purification. But a Tfuyom of that kind of Tumah that also has the bringing of a sacrifice on the next day, that kind of Tfuyom cannot process the Pora Aduma. If we continue in the Gemara, after having read the end of the source, Mechusi Kippurim, Osir Bepor Mutar Betruma Uvemeiser, Ve'im Isa, if it were so that an orel is mutter in meiser, so then nisni, you could have had you could have had orel featured in this source and read as follows: orel osur betruma. There is one thing that he's osur in, the truma, umutter bepar of a meiser, and two things that he would be mutter in. He would be mutter in doing the par aduma and also in eating meiser sheni. So, what do you see? The source didn't teach that. It must be, like Rav Sheshes, that the Orel is also in the Meiser Sheni. The Gemara rejects this. Hai Tana Debei Rabbi Akiva Hi. This Tana that holds that Orel, in fact, is also is according to the teaching of Rabbi Akiva, or the teaching of the source that was in the Yeshiva Rabbi Akiva, the Marbi Lei L'Orel Ketame, that includes the Orel as being a type of Tumah. The Sanya Rabbi Akiva Omer Ish Ish L'Rabois Es HaOrel. This we saw in one of our previous Shurim, recent Shurim, this particular approach, the approach that the Orel is viewed as a Tame. And as such, we couldn't have taught that the Orel is mutter is usher in Truma alone and mutter in Por and Meiser. No, he's considered Tomei, and hence he cannot do the Pora either. So that in principle, it might very well be that the Orel is mutter in Meiser, not like Rav Sheshes. That we concluded seeing a source that said that indicated that the Orel was usher not only in Truma but in Meiser as well, because if he was mutter in Meiser, it would have said that the Orel is usher in Truma and mutter in Poran and Meiser. And since the source did not say that, We're trying to conclude that the Orel, in fact, is Osir in Meiser as well. So here the Gemara is telling us, yes, the Orel is, in fact, Osir in Meiser, but you can't say that this source is a majority, unanimous type opinion. Rather, it's the opinion of a singular authority, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, if you will, that considers the Orel like a Tomei. And that's what we see in this Braisa Desanya Reb Kivomer Ish Ish. That posuk in Vorim in Vayikra Perchofes mentions Ish Ish. That's a Mitzora and a Zav, and the double expression Ish Ish is L'Rabbis is Orel, and comes to include the Orel. So once you say like Rabbi Akiva that the Orel is considered like a Tomei, the Orel simply doesn't fit into the source above, being that the Orel is Osir not only in Truma, but in Pora and Meiser as well, as is the din of Tuma. The Gemara continues, regarding that last point, so that you have a source that might have restricted the Orel from Meiser, but that's a singular opinion. Others, the majority opinion, might very well be that the Orel is Mutter in Meiser Sheni, coming out not like Rav Sheshes. Gemara asks, Uman Tano de Polig Ole de Rabbi Akiva. Rashi tells us that we had learned back on Daf Ayin Beis Omid Beis that an Orel that does the Hazov, the Por Aduma, it's acceptable. So we want to know who is the Tana that argues with Rabbi Kiva that says an Orel is able to process the Pora. Answer, Tana de Rabbi Yosef HaBavlihi. It's the Tanakama in the following source in which Rabbi Yosef HaBavli appears. But we're interested in the first opinion in this source. Desanya, Srefas. The Srefa means the burning of the Por Aduma done by an Oinein u'mechusar Kippurim Kshera. That's acceptable. Rabbi Yosef HaBavli Oimer, Oinein Kshera, mechusar Kippurim Psula. The Rabbi Yosef HaBavli, he says that he agrees on the Onein as being kosher, but a Mechusar Kippurim is not acceptable. And so now we have to fill in over here, and let's take a look together at Rashi where he fills in the necessary information. Hochi Garsinon Tana de Yosef HaBavli, Tanakama de Yosef HaBavli. It's the first opinion, the opinion that precedes Yosef HaBavli in this source, Yomar Mechusar Kippurim kosher Bepora, that someone who had been Tomei and needs to bring a Korban, and prior to his bringing of the Korban he goes and processes a Por Aduma, that's okay. V'ho masnisa du kimna krebikiva katoni mechusar kippurim posel the Pora. The source we had above that we set up like Rabbi Kiva mentioned that mechusar kippurim is usur in doing the Por Aduma. Well, that's like, and we said that was according to Rabbi Kiva. And just like the source above and the Tanakama here argue regarding the Mechusar Kippurim as to whether he's kosher for the Pora, it's likely that he would be the one to argue also regarding the case of Orel above, namely source in which we saw Mechusar Kippurim also Bepora, he would also say that an Orel is also Bepora. The Tanakama of Yosef HaBavli, who says that a Mechusar Kippurim is acceptable for Pora, he would be the one to say that the Orel is acceptable for Pora. It's maybe worth noting that you have that Mechusar Kippurim and Orel are both cases that we say are Mechusar Maisa. But if you say that Mechusar Maisa isn't a restrictive factor, so it won't be a restrictive factor in the case of a Mechusar Kippurim, nor in the case of an Orel. Well, we continue in the Gemara. V'af Reb Yitzchok Sovar Orel Oser B'Maiser. When we say af, even Reb Yitzchok means in addition to Rav Sheshes, Reb Yitzchok also will hold. He holds that an Orel cannot partake of Meiser Sheni. Yom Reb Yitzchok, minayin the Orel she'osir b'Meiser. From where do we know that an Orel is forbidden in Meiser Sheni? Answer: Ne'amar mimenu. The word mimenu appears in the context of the Meiser. Ne'amar mimenu the Pesach, and the word mimenu appears by Pesach as well. Ma mimenu amur bePesach Orel Oser Bo, just like the word mimenu appears in the context of Pesach, and we know that an Orel is prohibited from the Korban Pesach, by the same token, af mimenu amur bMeiser Orel Oser Bo. So through this word comparison of mimenu that's found in these two topics, Pesach and Meiser, we conclude that the same laws will apply to both insofar as the Orel being prohibited. The Gemara adds, Mufni. Now, this concept of Mufni, we discussed at length in one of our recent Shiurim. It has to do with, in order for a Gezera Shava, a word comparison method of conclusion, to be effective and resilient to questioning. This is only if there is a word that is truly extra, that the pasuk for itself could have been written without that word. The e lo mufni, the Gemara says, if we cannot ascertain that the word mimenu is available, mufni is available, or is this extra, it's available, we say available for the word comparison, ikol lemifrach, there would be room to undo the comparison on logical grounds. And it's as follows, that I can't learn from Pesach to Meiser. Ma le Pesach shekein chayv alav mishum pigol v'noisar v'tomei. Pesach has characteristics that you don't find by Meiser. Pigol is a situation where a korban is sacrificed, is slaughtered with a wrongful mindset. Without getting into details, that has a wrongful mindset with regard to timing, time of eating. Nosar is where a sacrifice is left over, and Tomei has to do with someone who is Tomei that partakes of a sacrifice. He is Chayev Kores. Now, these three areas, Pigul, Nosar, and Tomei, you find by the Pesach, by the Korban Pesach. You don't find that by Meiser Sheni. So, therefore, Lai, Afnuye Mufni. The word Lai means in truth. The word mimenu is available. It's extra. So therefore, we can make the gzera shava, not worry about this difference or these differences. My mufni. So here the Gemara wants to know which word or which pasuk has the word mimenu that is extra. Once again, we're making a gzera shava between Pesach and Meiser Sheni, in order to ascertain, in order to establish that an orel should be forbidden in Meiser Sheni, just like by the Pesach. In order to make that gezeira shova, that word comparison, we have to establish that the word mimenu is available. So where is this availability? Now notice we have a very long answer. This whole section of Gemara is dedicated to this answer. Omar Rova, Omar Yitzhak, Tlosa Mimenu Ksivi BePesach. You'll find the word Mimenu written three times, and Rashi spells them out, the three different psukim. You find Mimenu three times by the Korban Pesach. Chad Legufei. One is for itself, meaning the Pesach itself. For example, if the Torah says Al Tochlu Mimenu, no, don't eat from the Korban Pesach under roasted. So, the word Mimenu means it, the Korban Pesach itself. It's not there to infer from it to other things. V'chad L'gzeiro Shava, one of the Mimenu words is there for the purpose of comparing Pesach to the other topic, to Meiser Sheni. V'chad, the third mimenu, well, is dependent on, if you'll ask what it's there for, it's dependent on two different opinions. L'man d'omar bo'a kosov litein loch asei achar lo isase. There's a pasuk that says v'anosar mimenu ad boker bo'esh tisoref. So according to the opinion that says that the Torah writes the burning of the noser, of the leftover meat, Litein loch asei, to provide a positive command after following the negative command where the Torah said lo sosiru mimenu ad boker, don't leave over any of it till the next morning. Finish the entire Pesach at night. So according to that Manda Omar, we say Aidi deksiv noisar Ksiv nami mimenu. This third mimenu is really there since the Torah had to state the positive command following the negative command. The negative command said lo sosir mimenu ad boker, and the positive command was vahanosar. So since it has to say vahanosar Ad Boker Baishi Sreif, it used the word Mimenu as well. Vanosar Mimenu was used, was stuck in there to provide a type of lyrical balance. Because right before that it said, Lo sosiru mimenu ad boker, don't leave over from it. That's the negative command. The positive command, that which is left over from it. And here you have that repeat of mimenu. Ulaman de Omar, according to the other opinion that says, Litein lo boker shemi lisreifa. So, that the reference in the Pasuk, Vanosu mimenu ad boker boeshti sareif, is telling me that you don't burn it that very next morning. The very next morning is the 15th of Nisan. The Korban Pesach is eaten at the night ushering in Pesach, the night of the 15th, and the next morning is Pesach Day itself. It's a holiday. So there is an opinion that says that the Pasuk that writes, V'hanoser mimenu ad boker, it's there, Litein lo boker shenis refus, it's coming to tell me, you don't burn it immediately on the morning of the 15th of Nisan, but rather, you burn it in the morning of the 16th of Nisan. So, Aidi dechsiv ad boker, since the Torah had to use that expression, ad boker, which indicates the burning of the leftover meat, takes place on the boker sheni. So since it said ad boker, ksiv nami mimenu. The word mimenu is added for, I do call it for clarification purposes or for lyrical balance. Tlosa mimenu ksivi b'meiser. Since we mentioned that the word mimenu appeared by Pesach in one of the three instances, it was there in order to facilitate the Gezeirah Shava. We also are noting that there are three mimenus that are written in the case of Meiser. Rashi spells he spells those psukim out as well in an abbreviated form, but in each one of the examples that Rashi cites, you would add the word mimenu. So there are three psukim in which mimenu appears in the context of Meiser Sheni. Chad legufei. One is for itself. In other words, it's not there to extrapolate to other cases or to infer things, but rather it's telling me about the Meiser Sheni itself. The Chad, one of the second mimenu in the of the three that are written by Meiser Sheni, is teaching me l'cheda Rebbe Avo am Rabbi Yochanan. It's for the Rabbi Avo Amar Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, who allows hadloka, the lighting of truma shenitma. So the word mimenu by meiser is telling me by meiser that meiser sheni that became tamei, you're not allowed to burn it. From it you cannot benefit in its burning, but in another case, namely truma that became tamei, you can use as a fuel. V'chad l'dereish lakish. And the third mimenu by Meiser is for Reish Lakish's teaching. The Omar Reish Lakish, Omar of Samya Minayin, L'Meiser Sheni Shinitmo Shemutu L'Sucho. From where do you know that Meiser Sheni that became Tomei, you're allowed to anoint yourself or smear it on yourself? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, V'lo Nasati Mimenu L'Meis. And here you have the word mimenu, from where the owner declares, I didn't use any of it for a corpse. I didn't use the Meiser Sheni, or more specifically, the oil of Meiser Sheni. It's olive oil that you are to tithe. So I didn't use any of it for a corpse. Lemeis hu delo nasati. The pasuk is then leaving room for inferring that the person would say, "Yeah, I didn't use it for a corpse." Ha lechai dumya demeis nasati. But I used the oil for someone who's living that has, in the same sense of the way you would use it for someone that's dead. So, Eze Dovar Sheshove B'chayim V'mesim. What type of oil use would be similar to the life, like the living, like by the dead? Have Omer Zusicha. This has to do with anointing. Someone who's dead obviously isn't going to benefit from its being, from drinking it, from using it as a salad dressing, but the body is treated with a smearing of oil, just like someone who is living might smear on himself body oils. In making a gezeirah shava that is resilient to questioning, the Gezeirah Shavah would have to have an extra expression, or the word being used for the Gezeirah Shavah would have to be considered mufne, or extra, or available on both sides of the equation. Up till now, we have established that the word mimenu in the Meiser Sheni Pesach Gezeirah Shavah, the word mimenu was available amongst the Pesach mimenu words. Hence, if you skip the bracketed section momentarily, the Gemara raises this issue, v'akati mufne mitzad echad hu. But still, the Gezeirah Shavah is available or open to learning only on one side of the equation. Well, ha'nicha l'man domar l'meidin v'meshivin. This is fine. It works out well according to the opinion that says that when you have a Gezeirah Shavah open on only one side, you learn it, you learn the Gezeirah Shavah, and don't question it. Ela l'man domar l'meidin v'meshivin ma'ik l'meimar. But according to the opinion that says that although you can attempt to establish the Gezeirah Shavah, you nevertheless can question it. And here we have what to question. We can say that Pesach is chayev and pigul noiser and tome masha'en kain, as opposed to maiser sheni. So we're going to be struggling with this issue of how do we establish a solid, unquestionable gezeirah shavah. We'll go over that point shortly, but we have to go over the bracketed section. The last point that had been mentioned in the Gemara before the brackets was that the word mimenu in the context of Maiser Sheni was found in the pasuk where it said lo nosati mimenu lemeis, and from this we learned that you didn't use the called the Maiser Sheni oil for smearing on a corpse, but for using it on someone alive in the same fashion that you would use it on a corpse, that would be okay. And this was what Rav Samuel's halacha was. From where do we know that Maiser Sheni, that became Tomei, you can smear it on yourself. Now, in the brackets, Maskiflo Marzutra. Marzutra says, who says that you see from here a source for using Maiser Sheni that became Tomei as a smearing, as an ointment? V'eimo likach loy aroin v'tachrichin. When he declares, I didn't use the Maiser Sheni for the dead, maybe his intention is he's saying, I didn't use it for buying a coffin and shrouds. The Gemara says, no, that's not what the intention was. Omar Rav Huna Breit Rav Shua Mimenu means migufo. It has to do with the body itself. Where the pasuk says lo nosati mimenu lemeis, I didn't use it itself, the oil itself, for the corpse, not the value of the oil for buying a coffin and shrouds, but the oil itself. Rav Ashi Omar lo nosati dumyo delo achalti. When the pasuk says lo nosati menu meis v'lo achalti menu betamei, we compare the lo nosati to the lo achalti. Ma lahalon migufo, just like in eating, you're eating the oil itself. Af kan, so too in the giving to the dead, lo nosati menu lemeis, he's saying I didn't give the oil itself to the dead, meaning smearing it on the dead. And from that, we were able to infer that to the dead, no, but to yourself, like the dead, meaning smearing it like you would have on a body, that you are allowed to do. We continue. The akati, but still, mufne mitzad echadu. The Gezeirah Shavah was based on the availability of the word only on one side of the equation, namely on the Pesach side, as we said earlier. Does that mean that this Gezeirah Shavah is solid? Well, things will work out that I can make the Gezeira Shava. And of course, the conclusion of the Gezeira Shava is that an Orel would be Osir in Meiser Sheni, just like he's Osir in Pesach. But that's if you assume you can make a Gezeira Shava. It, like this, that's, that has an, that has the available or the word free and available for this purpose on only one side of the equation. But according to the other opinion in making Gzeira Shavas that says it has to be open, if it's open only on one side of the equation, you can challenge it. So, and here there is what to challenge. As we said earlier, Pesach is not really comparable to Meiser Sheni, and that Pesach has additional stringencies associated with it, and that's why the Orel would be usher by the Pesach and not necessarily by the Meiser Sheni. So the Gemara answers, I'm now going to make the Meiser, I'm going to make the Gzera Shava open on both sides of the equation. Hach the Rebbe Avo, that Hadloka with Shemen of Truma that became Tomei, which we thought originally was learned from the Mimenu word by Meiser Sheni, from which we inferred Meiser Sheni lo bi'arti mimenu b'tome, that Meiser Sheni, when tome you cannot use as fuel, but truma you can. No, that's rather mi derav Nachman omar rabba bar avua nafka. The omar Rav Nachman omar rabba bar avua. From Rav Nachman's teaching, we will learn that truma that became tome can be used as a fuel. Mai dichtiv vani hine nosati loch es mishmeres trumosoi. The word trumosoi exists in, is here in the plural. B'shtei trumos hakosu medaber. The pasuk that says, "And I have given unto you my trumos," is talking about two kinds of truma. Achas truma tohor, v'achas truma tameya. One being tohor truma, the other being tomei truma. V'omar rachmono loch. And in the same pasuk it says, "Nei sati loch." Means loch means shelcha tehe, lahasoka tachas tefshilcha, that even truma tamea you are entitled to benefit from. In what capacity? As a fuel. To lahasoka is to burn it as a fuel, tachas tefshilcha, under your pots that contain food that needs to be cooked. So by having learned a truma shenitmes serving as a fuel from this other source of Mishmeres Trumosoi, I free up the Mimenu word by one of the Mimenu words by the Meiser Sheni. This, you, by the way, you can see we've used arrows on the to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. You can see where we made reference to Rabbi Avol on Rabbi Yochanan earlier, where one of those Mimenus was used for this halacha of Truma Shinitme serving as fuel. So we're saying, no, it's not learned from the Mimenu over there by Meiser Sheni, but rather it's learned from Rav Nachman's teaching that we just have, Mishmeres Trumosoi. That having been done, we free up one Mimenu by the Meiser Sheni, and hence I have an extra Meiser, a Mimenu by Meiser Sheni. I had an extra a Mimenu by Pesach. It's two extra words on both sides of the equation. Hence we have a Gzera Shava that is solid, and from this we were able to derive Rabbi Yitzchok's teaching before that an Orel is prohibited in Meiser Sheni, just like he's prohibited by the Korban Pesach. The Chol HaTameyim, this is from the Mishnah Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. It says the all Tameyim lo yochlu betruma. Mino hanimili. From where do we know the rule that truma demands tahara, that in order to consume truma we have to be in a state of ritual purity? Omar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishmol Omar Kro Ish Ish Mizera Aroin Vehu Tzorua Oizov. Pasuk goes on to say Bakodashim lo yochal ad asher yitar vanogeh b'chol tomei nefesh oi ish asher teitse mimenu shichva zera. That's the pasuk. The pasuk describes people from the descendants of Aaron, and that are tomei, like a tzometzora or a zav. says Bakodoshim lo yochal, they shall not eat from that which is holy. A zehu davar sheshove. We continue at the top of Omer Beis Bezaroi shel Aaron. What thing is common to all the seed of Aaron, to all the descendants of Aaron? Heve Omer zehu truma. That is a reference to truma. Truma is something that all the descendants of Aaron are able to benefit from. And when we say all the descendants of Aaron, we're talking about males and females. All of them can benefit from truma. So when we ask the question, from where do we know that Temeim shall not eat from truma, this pasuk describes different kinds of Temeim, and since it's talking about the Zer Aaron, the Kodshim word in the pasuk is V'Kodshim lo yochal. It's saying, in effect, they shall not eat from truma. Lo yochal means they shall not eat from the truma. So someone who is tummy does not eat truma. The Gemara questions, V'Eimol v'chazev v'shok, maybe V'Kodoshim that's referred to in this pasuk is a reference to the sections of sacrifices that a Kohen receives, as is the case in a Korban Shlomim. From every Korban Shlomim that's slaughtered, the Kohen is to receive the Chazeh and Shok, different parts of the animal, without getting involved with translation. The Gemara says, well, Eina Bechoyzeres. The word Chozeres is a reference to a Bas Kohen, that when she was the daughter of a Kohen, when she was single, she was eating not only of Truma, but as part of her father's house, she was also able to eat from sacrifices that her father, the Kohen, had received the portions, like in the case of Chozeh v'Shok. However, a girl from a Kohen house that gets married, in the event that she gets divorced, or even if she becomes an almona, if she becomes a widow, and she goes back to her father's house, she goes back to eating Truma, but she does not go back to eating the korban portions that her father had received. So therefore, it's not what the pasuk refers to when the pasuk said "Ish ish mi zera Aaron," that which all zera Aaron can benefit from. That's truma, but not chazav ishok, because not all zera shel Aaron benefits from that. You have the Bas Kohen that goes back to her father's house, as we described. This she does not; she doesn't resume receiving that portion. The Gemara asks, "Well, truma nami eino b'chalola." If a Kohen marries a divorcee, and they have a daughter, that girl is a chalola. She's disqualified from the kuna, and as a result, she doesn't get truma. So, and yet she's the daughter of a Kohen. So why do you choose to say that the pasuk is describing someone who's tamei not to eat truma, and you discounted that the pasuk was talking about chozeh v'shok on the grounds that eino b'chozeres? Well, truma is also forbidden to a chalola. The Gemara answers, chalola lav zaro d'aron hi. When a child is a cholol that is born, they're not considered the seed of Aaron. They're not considered from the descendants of Aaron. So even though genealogically, physically speaking, genetically, she might be the descendant of Aaron, but nevertheless, halachically, she is cast out of being categorized as Zaro Shel Aaron. Once again, we're talking about a chalola. This is a child born from a Kohen who married a divorcee, of course, against the Torah. The Gemara asks, Umimai dahai ad asher yitar means, now ad asher yitar was in the pasuk that we read, Vayikra Perichov Beis Pasuk Dalet. Who is to say that ad asher yitar is a reference to ad diikla herav shemesh, that the tamei person is restricted until sundown, which is characteristic of truma, emo ad demaisi kapara. maybe the pasuk, even if you say, as we proved, is referring to truma, but ad ashir tam means until they bring their sacrifice. There are different kinds of tuma, of tumeim, that it's not enough that they immerse in the mikveh and experience sunset, but on the next day afterwards they have to bring a sacrifice. So maybe in order to eat truma, a person would need to bring that, the required sacrifice as well. We're speaking in somewhat abbreviated terms, but there are a series of different kinds of tuma, like a mitzora, a zav, a zova, that even though they waited the requisite purification days, plus went to the mikveh, plus experienced the sunset of that final day, the next day they have to bring sacrifices as is ordained by the Torah. So who is to say that the permission to eat truma is dependent on the setting of the sun? Maybe it is dependent on their bringing of sacrifices. By the way, if this discussion sounds even vaguely familiar to those of you who have learned Maseches Brachas, don't be surprised. This is found on the first daf of Maseches Brachas. The Gemara response is Lo Salka Daitoch. To say that the Pasuk is speaking about when it says Ad Asher Yitar, that the person who is Tomei cannot partake of Truma until they bring their required sacrifices, that cannot be said. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Now this diamond marking, you'll see, will be of value for the Gemara on Daf Ayin Hey Omen Aleph. So we'll appreciate this marking more later on. So the teaching from the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel states, Bezav Baal Shtei Rios of a Mitzurah Muzgar Hakosuf Medaber. This posuk of Ishish Mizar Aaron Vayikra Perikov, base posuk Dalin, according to this authority of Tana Debei Mishmael, it's talking about a Zav that had only two sightings. A Zav is a man, a male, that had two emissions. These emissions are not something we're necessarily familiar with today. We'll say the common male type emission, but it's called the Zav emission. And we know that a Zav, as is featured in the Torah, if he has two emissions on two successive days, or two on one day, he has to observe seven clean days. If he has three emissions, not only does he have to observe seven clean days, but he also has to bring a sacrifice on the eighth day. However, if he had only two sightings, there is no sacrifice. Uva mitzora musgar is a mitzora that has been isolated for a temporary amount of time, for a week, in order to establish whether the tsaras is a full-fledged case of tsaras or possibly not. So a person who is in a state of musgar, when he leaves that state, he does not bring a sacrifice. And how does the Tana Debei Rishon know that? Because in the Pasuk, reference was made to Tomei Nefesh, someone who had been defiled to the dead. Dumya de Tomei Nefesh. Ma Tomei Nefesh de Lav Bar Kaporahu. Just like someone who experienced Tumas Meis does not bring a sacrifice at the end of the 7-day defilement period. Hani Nami de Lav B'nei Kapora Ninu. The reference in the Pasuk to the Mitzora and the Zav is a type of Mitzora, type of Zav, that does not bring sacrifices. And as we said, the Zav, it's a Zav, had two sightings, and the Mitzora, that was only in the Musgar state, that's the state where he was isolated for a week and possibly an additional week, in order to determine whether the Tzoras is full-blown or not. They do not bring sacrifices, called Lo B'nei Kapora. Aval, the Bar Kapora, we skipped a little bit. V'ema, the Gemara asks, we said till now that a person who was defiled, in order to be able to partake of Truma, he has to wait till sunset, but no more. He doesn't have to wait till he brings sacrifices. The Gemara asks, V'eimo hani mili, when do we say that the setting of the sun is enough to serve as tahara, purification, for the person who was tamei? That's the lav bar kapora. That's only if he experienced a type of defilement that doesn't have a sacrifice brought with it. Then we say, okay, upon sunset, the individual now becomes permitted in partaking of truma. The kohen who had been tamei will now be able to partake of truma. Avol de bar kapora. However, if the kohen were involved in that type of defilement that does have a sacrifice brought after the waiting period, maybe ad de maisi kapora, that he's not allowed to eat truma until he actually brings that sacrifice on the following day. The suha disnan. And furthermore, I have another question. It says in the following source, Taval v'ola oichel b'maiser, person who had been tamei, once he immerses himself in the mikveh and then arises from the mikveh, he can eat maiser sheni. Hariv shimsho oichel b'truma, if that same person who was tamei went to the mikveh and had and experienced sundown as well, then oichel b'truma, then he can partake of truma. Hevi kapora oichel b'kodshim, once he brings the requisite sacrifice for those kinds of tuma that demand the bringing of a sacrifice, once he brings the sacrifice, that individual can now partake of eating other sacrificial meat. Mina lon. The information contained in this source, from where do we know that? And part of our question is also, how do we know that a person who had been tamei, a type of tumah that requires the bringing of a korban, in order to eat from truma, doesn't have to wait till that particular korban is brought? Where do we know all this from? Omar Rava, Om Rav Chista, Tlosa Kroi Ksivi. There are three psukim. And from the three psukim, we will establish three different standards. Ksiv velo Yochal mina kodashim kim rochatz besor b'mayim. There's one pasuk that says that a person is not to eat from that which is holy unless he immersed in water, in a mikveh. Ha rochatz tohar. And then we could infer that, well, if he does rochatz, if he does immerse in the water, he becomes tohar uksiv. There's another pasuk that says uvo hashemesh v'toher v'achar yochal mina kodashim. Uvo hashemesh means the sun sets, the toher, then he becomes purified, and then he can participate in that which is kodesh, holy. Uksiv, another pasuk says, v'chipro le'akein v'tohera. This is a reference to a woman that had given birth. The kohen offers her sacrifice, and then she achieves tahara. She achieves, with the bringing of the sacrifice, purification. So how we have three psukim indicating three different standards for achieving purification. One is simple immersion in the mikveh. The second one is waiting till after the sun sets. And the third is only after specific sacrifices are brought. Can we resolve all these sources? The Gemara says, Ha-ketzad, how are we to understand these? Kan b'maiser, kan l'truma, kan l'kotshim. The first pasuk that said ki'im rochatz b'sor b'mayim, and that immersing yourself in the water is enough, that's l'maiser. That's in order to enable someone that was tamei that to now partake of maiser sheni. Kan l'truma, the pasuk that indicated setting of the sun is needed in addition to immersion in the mikveh. And after the sun sets, he's considered purified. That's for purposes of eating truma. Kan l'kotshim. And the most, greatest imposition or strongest standard, meaning that you have to have, in addition to the mikveh and immersion, In addition to sunset, you have to wait till the next day and the bringing of the sacrifices. That's lekotshim. That's to enable the individual to partake of eating sacrifices. The Gemara asks, v'epuchano, maybe we should switch things around and say the standard that we apply to truma should be applied to meiser, and the standard we apply to meiser should be applied to truma. So the Gemara says, mistabra truma adifa, it's more likely that truma will require more in order to achieve purification, shekein machpaz, because it has four characteristics that are featured by this abbreviated expression, which we, by the way, saw before on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. They represented Misa, Chomesh, No Pidyon, and Isur Lezorim. So that you see that Truma has these special characteristics that you don't find by Meiser Sheni, hence the greater stringencies applied to achieving Tara for Truma eating. Adarabo Meiser Adifa, Shekein Hadas Tav. I could argue that Meiser is stronger, has special considerations, as the abbreviated expression alludes to. And Rashi goes through them. If we look at Rashi a couple lines up from where we are, Hadas Tav, Havo Asmokom, Meiser Sheni, as opposed to Truma, must be brought to Yerushalayim. Vidui, there's a verbal declaration. V'asul Oinein, an Oinein cannot partake of Meiser Sheni as opposed to Truma. Ulevar Mimenu Betuma, the rules regarding what you do with it when it becomes Tomei, you find them more restrictive in the case of Meiser Sheni than you do by Truma. The Oichloi Betumas Atzmo Loke, and one who eats a Meiser Sheni that itself became Tomei is subject to Malkus. V'chayev B'bior Hei V'chayev B'bior. And what Rashi does now is he takes each one of those letters, Hadas Tav, and shows what they are associated with. See, the Hei is Havo, the Hei being the first word of that word, Havo, needing to bring it to Yerushalayim. Dalid is from the word Vidui, Samach from the word Osul Oinein, Tes Tuma, Beis Bior. And all of these five characteristics you don't find by Truma. So maybe the higher level of Tara required, or the additional factors that are required, will apply to Meiser and not to Truma. Gemara says, "Afilu hachi miso adifa." Even so, even though Meiser Sheni has more characteristics of stringency than Truma, nevertheless, Truma has something that Meiser Sheni does not, and that is the potential for death at the hands of heaven when it comes to the misconduct in the context of Truma. Rava Amar Belo Miso Adifa. Rava says even without that consideration, Nami Lo Motzis Amris, you still could not suggest that the stronger standard of purification should apply to Meiser over Truma. Omar Kro Nefesh. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk that it said, Ki'im Rochatz Besoro, it mentioned in that Pasuk, Nefesh Kisigabo. So we see from that the first Pasuk was talking about, let's continue reading the Gemara, since you see in that Pasuk, the first Pasuk cited in this list of Pesukim, Kiim Rochatz B'sor B'mayim, Ezu Dover Sheshove B'chol Nefesh, what type of tithe is equal amongst all people, all Jewish people have equal access to it. Heve Emer Zeh Meiser. That description is true of Meiser. You wouldn't say that of Truma. Truma's not Shava B'chol Nefesh. Only Kehanim participate in Truma. But Meiser Sheni is something that has relevance to everybody. Vakati, but still, we're going to resurrect an old question. Vakati, Hani Mili, it might very well be that the, the immersion in mikveh would be enough. That's Hecha Delav Bar Kapora. That's when you're dealing with a type of Tumah that has no sacrifice And if we say, we should maybe just add, and when will I say that Harav Shemesh is enough for Truma? I'll say Harav Shemesh is enough for Truma. That's only when it's a type of Tumah that didn't have a carbon associated with it. Aval Hecha de Bar Kapara. If, however, a person, let's say a Kohen was Tomei, he was a Metzora, or he was a Zav, which is a kind of Tumah that requires the bringing of a sacrifice, Ad de Maisi Kapara. That Kohen will not be allowed to partake of Truma until he actually brings that sacrifice. How do you know not so? How do you know to say that for Truma consumption, all that's necessary is the setting of the sun without the waiting till the next day to bring the korban, even if it's a type of Tuma that has a korban associated with it? Omar Abaye, Trey Kroy Ksivi Bioletis. There are two psukim in the context of a woman who gave birth. A woman who gives birth becomes Tamea and also brings a sacrifice eventually. So she is an example of a type of Tuma that's Bar Kapora. This house shape is explained under the Mivneh heading, Simun Shem Yuad Litzor Kesher Bein Abai Rav Shisha Brei Rav Idi Shem Maksha Lov. Later we'll see Rav Shisha who challenges what Abaye says now. So now, what does Abaye, what does he say? The general topic has to do with how does one achieve Tara for the eating of Truma. And we've said, for the eating of Truma, all you need, in addition to the immersion of the mikveh, you need sundown. How are, and that, by the way, that halacha applies even to those kinds of tuma that have sacrifices associated with them. So Omar Abai, Trey Kroy Ksiv Bioletis. There are two psukim in the context of the woman who gives birth. Ksiv Ad Malois Yimei Tahara, Kevon Shemolu Yomeha Tahora. The Yoletis is considered a type of tuma, quasi tuma, until the completion of her Tahara days. In the case of a male birth, it's till the end of the 40th day. In the case of a female birth, it's at the end of the 80th day since she had given birth. So one pasuk indicates Ad Melos Yemei Torah, which we said Kevon Shemolu Yemei Torah, that once she completes that requisite number of days, that's enough for her to achieve purity. Uksiv v'chiper olea kohen v'tohera. But there's another pasuk that says that the Kohen shall atone for her. That's a reference to the bringing of a sacrifice. And with that, the woman achieves Tara. So we have to make up our minds. One pasuk says, just with the completion of the waiting days. And the other pasuk says that Tara is not achieved unless a korban is brought on, in effect, the day after the waiting days of purity were experienced. Haketzat, so how are we to resolve these two psukim? Number one indicating just passage of days, pasuk number two indicating the necessity of bringing a sacrifice. So kan l'truma, kan l'kotshim. When it comes to achieving purification for truma, so it's enough that the requisite number of days passed since the original tuma. The pasuk that says that mere passage of days is not enough, but there has to be the bringing of a sacrifice, that's lekotshim. That's to enable the individual that was tomei to partake of sacrificial meat. So in order to partake of sacrificial meat, we have the higher standard, namely the bringing of the korban. The apul chana, maybe we should switch these standards around, that in order to be allowed to eat truma, you would have to bring the sacrifice that is demanded by the Torah for that kind of tuma. That's for truma. And for kochim, you don't need that. You don't need the bringing of the sacrifice. So once again, for truma, we would say that you have to bring the sacrifice. And for kochim, no. It's enough that there was sunset of the last day of purification, of waiting. The Gemara says no. Mistabra kodesh chamur. It's more likely that kodesh, that sacrifices, need the more stringent approach. Namely, that it's not enough that the days pass, but on the conclusion of those days, the next day a sacrifice has to be brought as well. That standard should apply to Kodesh, to sacrifices. Shekain Pank Achas. These are, it's an abbreviated expression with all the points of, we'll say, severity and uniqueness that you find by Kodeshim. And since Kodeshim has these examples of severity, so it will require the higher standard in order to achieve purification, in order to eat sacrificial meat. Adarabba, the Gemara says, to the contrary, Truma Chamura, we find more stringencies applied to Truma. Shekain Machpaz, and here again we see that abbreviated expression, and we explained earlier what those refer to. But those four elements, Misa and Choymesh, Ein Lapidyon, and Asur Lezorim, those four elements are stringencies that you find by Truma and not by other things. So why is it that you're choosing to apply the standard of severity to Truma, to Kodeshim, and not to Truma? Maybe we should apply it to Truma, not to Kodeshim. Truma says, Hanach Nefishon, you find more areas of stringency that are a characteristic of Kodeshim, more than the number of points of stringency that is characteristic of Truma. Rava Omar, below Hanach Nefishon, Rava says, even without that consideration, that Kodeshim has more stringencies than Truma, still low, once again, below Hanach Nefishon, low Motzis Amris. You can't suggest that we would apply a greater chumrah, greater stringency to Truma over sacrifices. Why? Why lo matzis amris? Why couldn't you say that? Amar kra v'chiper aleh ha-kohen v'tahera. That pasuk, v'chiper aleh, is a reference to the bringing of sacrifices after a person was tamei. Michlal shehi tamei. This implies that a person, even though they had gone to mikveh the day before and the sun had set, they're still considered tameim. V'i salka daitoch b'kotshim, if you were to think that this pasuk of v'chiper aleh ha-kohen v'tahera is referring to kodeshim, referring to sacrifices, and contrary to what we thought, that Harav Shemesh would be enough. Let us just backtrack for a moment with regard to what Rava's point is. Rava is saying, without the first answer, we could still come to this conclusion that Truma is requisite of only Harav Shemesh, and for Kodeshim, you need to have the bringing of the sacrifice on the subsequent day. Rava tells us that even without the fact that Kodeshim have a higher standard, have more stringencies, it still could not possibly be that for Kodeshim the setting of the sun would be enough. And how does Rava know that? Because the pasuk says, regarding the bringing of sacrifices after the Tumah period, it says, V'chiper oleh ha-kohen v'tahera. And from that word, v'tahera, we learn, Michlal shehi tamea, that up till the bringing of the sacrifice, the individual has the status of Tumah. V'i salka daitoch b'kodeshim, we're of course reading in the Gemara, if you were to think that for Kodeshim, that for being allowed to eat sacrificial meat, the setting of the sun would be enough, well, a person like that, is it not so that he is still considered quasi-tomei from the fact that only until the next day, after the bringing of the sacrifice, do they achieve full tara? As we saw in the pasuk, v'chiper aleh ha-kohen v'tahera, only after the bringing of the sacrifice, which is alluded to by the term v'chiper aleh, only then are they tahor. So if you're going to say that for eating sacrificial meat, the setting of the sun is enough, that very person is a type, as quasi-tomei. And ikri kan, I would then have to refer to this another pasuk that says Va'boser asher yiga b'chol tomei lo yochal. Sacrificial meat that comes into contact with any form of tumah, you cannot eat it. So it's not possible that for the eating of sacrifices, the setting of the sun would be enough when that very person needs to bring a sacrifice the next day. Because, now we're repeating ourselves, that since he needs to bring a sacrifice the next day, up till that point he's called Tomei. And someone who is called Tomei that would be touching sacrificial meat and eating it would be in violation of this pasuk that says Va'boser shiga b'chol tomei lo yochal. Elo shma mino betruma. Rather, you have to conclude that the standard of setting of sun being enough to achieve tara, that's only for the eating of truma. Maskif lo Rav Shisha Brei Deravidi. We pointed out earlier that the house marking is here to enable us to tie Rav Shisha into Abaye. But Rav Shisha asks on Abaye, Umi motzis amris truma ksiva hocha. The pasuk that Abaye cited, one of the two psukim that he cited was V'chiper ole akein v'tohera. How can you say that that pasuk is referring to let's just repeat ourselves. One pasuk said Ad Melos Yimei Tara, and the other pasuk said V'chiper ole akein v'tohera. So Rav Shisha asks, Umi motzis amris truma ksiva hocha. How can you possibly say that in this topic, which is referring to the Yoledes, it's referring to the, that's what Abaye said, the two psukim that deal with the Yoledes, who is to say that Truma is alluded to there whatsoever? V'hatanya. The pasuk says, in that context, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, Ein li elo b'nei Yisrael. We're talking about the psukim that are found in the Parsha of the Yoledes, by Yikra, Perek, Yud, Beis. It says, Daber al B'nei Israel, and I would say from that, that refers only to the Jewish people. Pure bred, pure pedigree Jewish people. Giyores v'shivcha mishucheres minayin. How do I know that the Parsha is alluding to a convert and a free bondmaid as well? Talmud Lomar, Isha. The pasuk says Isha ki sazria. The word Isha means a lady, any kind of lady, whether she's from Jewish descent or she's a convert to Judaism or she's a freed bondmaid. The isalka daitach betruma. If you are to think that that parsha Vayikra Perek Yud Beis is dealing with what is necessary in order to come to truma eating, giyores v'shivcha benois mechal truma ninu. Where in the world do we find that a convert or a free bondmaid is eligible for eating truma? So we have this parsha dealing with the yoledes, dealing with the woman who gave birth, and after she gives birth, she's in a state of tuma, and she needs to achieve tara. But for what? To suggest, like Abaye, that is to achieve tara, amongst other things, for the eating of truma, that's very unlikely, because the parsha of birth includes the Gioras and the Shivcha Mishukheras. And Truma has no relevance to them. Omar Rava. Rava responds, he responds to Rav Shisha's question. And he says, Velo? And is that not so? V'hoksiv b'chol kodesh lo siga l'rabois ha-truma. And notice, this is again from Vayikra Perek Yudbeis Posuk Dalid. And so therefore the pasuk is including truma. Elo kro mili mili kachashiv. Rather, the pasuk is dealing with several different topics. Uktlosa kroi betruma lamali. What do I need? Three separate psukim by truma. In other words, for what do I need three psukim? Now, as far as you're probably wondering, what three psukim are you referring to? So Rashi enumerates on the third line from the top. utlosa kroy betruma. What you have b'kodashim lo yochal ad sheyitar. That's vayikra perichov beis posuk dalid. V'ukim liel minei betruma kosam medaber. Dover hashava bazar shel aron. We established that that posuk of b'kodashim lo yochal ad sheyitar was a reference to something that's found by all of Aaron's descendants. That's truma. The pasuk says uvo hashemesh v'toher, and there's another pasuk that says ad melois yemei tahara. So you have three separate psukim referring to truma. What do you need these psukim for? Utsrichi di'i me'ad asher yitar perek chof beis pasuk dalet in vayikra. Had I had just that, lo haviyadana b'mai. It says that one cannot partake of truma until they become tor. Adashita, but it doesn't tell me how. Kosav rachmana uvo hashemesh v'toher. Hence, I have another pasuk that says, also in Vayikra perek chof beis pasuk zayin, which tells me that the tara is achieved by the setting of the sun. The kosav rachmana uvo hashemesh v'toher. And had I had just that, hanimili, I would have thought that's true, the setting of the sun is enough, that's the lav bar kapora. That's when you're dealing with those kinds of tuma that don't have a sacrifice brought at their conclusion. Aval the bar kapora, but that kind of tuma that entails the bringing of a sacrifice at the end of the tuma period, emo ademaisi kapora, I would think that they are not allowed in truma eating until they bring that korban. Therefore, kosav rachmana ad melois, that for truma purposes, all you need is the completion of the number of days that are required. The kosav rachmana ad melois, had the posuk said just that, have amino afilu below tevila, I would have thought that it's sufficient just that there's the passage of days, the required waiting period is enough, even without immersion in a mikveh. Kosav rachmona ad asher yitar. Therefore, we have the pasuk that says ad asher yitar, which implies that the passage of the days is not enough, but something additional is required, hence the reference to immersion in a mikveh. So what we just saw was the Gemara explaining the need of all the different psukim that you find in the context of tuma and achievement of tara in the context of truma eating. We want to go over just one detail that we sort of glossed over earlier. We had Rav Shisha Braid Rav Edi at the bottom of Ayin Dalon Abayis raising a question on Abaye, who said that the psukim dealing with the psukim that were cited earlier, two psukim are found in the context of a yoledes, and one of the psukim was there to teach me about the tara for truma purposes. Rav Shisha had asked, how can you say that truma is found in the parsha dealing with the yoledes, the woman giving birth, when the Torah mentions that not only do the laws of Tumas Yoledes apply to a purebred or genealogically pure Jewess, but it applies also to a convert to Judaism as well as a freed bondmaid. So those kind of women have no connection to Truma. Therefore, the Parsha that deals with the Yoledes is most likely not dealing with the Yoledes in the context of her coming to eating truma, contrary to what Abaye had said. Rava says, oh, how can you say that it's not referring to truma when we have, as the Gemara cited at the top of our Omid Ayin Hei Omid Aleph, it said, Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga, which includes truma. Again, psukim from the same context. Therefore, and this is the point we didn't emphasize earlier, but on the second line from the top, the Gemara Rava says, "Elokra mili mili kochashiv." the psukim that deal with the Yoledes mention different topics. It mentions, on the one hand, that the laws of Tumas Yoledes apply not only to purebred Jewesses, but apply also to a convert woman to Judaism who bore a child, or to a free bondmaid who, after her freedom, bore a child, that these women are also liable to ritual defilement, to tumah. However, there is also reference to how one achieves Torah for truma purposes, and Eino Chinami, that aspect does not apply to the Gyoros or Shifcha Meshucharos, because they don't have any connection to truma. But one, as we said, one doesn't preclude the other. The Pasuk Mili Mili Kotoni deals with different topics relating to the Yoledes. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.